Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thank you, Steve. John Williams here. It's 1:36. This is WGN. We're listening to the score of The Bride of Frankenstein. The Chicago Symphony Orchestra is actually going to perform this while you watch the movie. Doesn't that sound like fun? Jim Fahey is the director of programming for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. He's in our studio. Jim, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
What fun.
It has been fun. We've been doing a series devoted to film scores since 2004. And so this is an extra added concert we did for Halloween, but it's a program that we did about 10 years ago for our CSO at the Movies series. And it's just an amazing experience to be able to hear the Chicago Symphony Orchestra play this amazing, evocative score by Franz Waxman. While you watch this really classic horror film, it is kind of a really, you know, beautiful example of the horror film genre.
I wonder if the music gets lost when you watch the movie on, say, TV or even on the big screen. Do you appreciate, you know, the score? Are you listening that way?
I think there are moments in a film such as Bride where the score becomes a very, very important part of the movie. There's certainly underscored moments where there's dialogue going on, and so those are usually mixed a little bit lower. But to be able to hear the complete score live is one of the, you know, like I said, amazing experiences we have when we've been doing these live film-to-orchestra projects.
I'm running through my head instances where the music really is a feature in a movie, and a lot of them are John Williams scores.
Yes.
So I'm thinking Jaws. I'm thinking in Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Yes, Bernard Herrmann's scores were a really important part. There's a story that Psycho would not have been Psycho without the Bernard Herrmann score that he wrote. And that, you know, when watching that film and the shower scene in particular, it's a very important part of the
movie. What an exciting part. I mean, if I was a violinist in a major orchestra, I would just click my heels every day that I'm in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra A. But then if I got to do the violin scene in Psycho, I wonder if I'd actually be nervous. Like, you know, do not get nervous. Do not think about it. Don't flub this line. We can't have a bad squeak here. It has to be the perfect squeak. You know what I mean?
Usually what we have to do is keep them from keeping their eye on the screen, which is above them while they're performing, but they do a very good job of it.
Well, that's the task then for the conductor, right?
Yes.
Because we're watching the movie live. I presume the artists actually aren't, right? They're watching the conductor and following
Correct.
Him or her.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the conductor does use a specific copy of the film that includes either a clock or something called streamers and clicks that keeps him synced with the music, gives him kind of some cues in terms of downbeats and tempos, and he's able to then keep sync with the film on the screen.
I had to do a narration once with an orchestra. I don't read music, and there was no film to follow. I was just doing a narration of Casey at the Bat, and there was some music to it, and it was terrifying because there were parts where I needed to be speaking and they needed to be playing a certain part of music, or they needed to be playing a certain part of music and I needed to match my speech to that. And I didn't always hit my marks. You know, I'm sorry for them, but, you know, they can't slow down for me.
You got to keep going.
Yeah. So how do they do that, though? So because if you have a movie, Bride of Frankenstein, it wasn't a silent film, was it?
It was not. No.
I mean, obviously, there's the soundtrack, right? But, I mean, there's dialogue in this movie.
Correct.
So how do you strip the music out and not also strip out the spoken words?
It is a process of scrubbing the soundtrack. It's a very old soundtrack, so it needed to be kind of re-engineered in that way. And in reality, what's happening is that the music is actually still behind the dialogue. You can't hear it, but so the between the lines of the dialogue, the music is scrubbed out, but it's still there in the background, but you really can't hear it.
So there are times then where the orchestra is playing as well as the original score.
Well, you can't really hear it. It's just behind dialogue, so it's very, very hard to hear. And the presence of the orchestra within, you know, our wonderful space, Orchestra Hall, is really kind of commands the evening.
But then in those spaces in between, boy, that's meticulous editing,
yes,
then, isn't it?
A lot of work.
Somebody
yes.
had to go down in between each phrase or word, drop the music so that it wouldn't compete
exactly.
with the live. And then I presume in more modern films, they must be multi-tracked. You could simply
right.
edit out
exactly.
the music track.
Yeah, the process is editing out the music track and in some cases reducing some of the sound effects tracks so that the music can still become the most important part of the presentation.
Do the musicians like this kind of work?
I think they do. They appreciate the scores that these wonderful composers over the years have written. We started the series in order to give people the chance to hear these scores performed live by the Chicago Symphony, and I think our orchestra members have appreciated that. We've had some wonderful, wonderful success with our audiences, and so I think they appreciate that as well.
Yeah, I don't know how you or they would react to this, but I know that someone once said that one of the great things about cartoons years ago was that when you're watching Bugs Bunny or something like that, a lot of times the madcap scenes were set to classical music.
Correct.
It was an introduction. It was the entree for a lot of us into
right.
that kind of sound.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we haven't done it with the Chicago Symphony, but there is a program called Bugs Bunny on Broadway that brings all of those scores to life, too. So we're talking about maybe bringing that back in the future.
So the great then, so when you scout these movies then, you must be thinking not great movie, but great score in a movie. And
that's
then does
the
movie
challenge.
Hold up?
That is the challenge, yes, because there's more and more titles now becoming available that are really wonderful movies. But I think for the most part, they're scores that, you know, were written by amazing composers, but might not be as memorable as some of the more classic films and more famous scores that we know of.
Right, and the CSO doesn't want to just show a movie,
correct,
right, and then be the background music. They want to be feature players in the film. So this one works, Bride of Frankenstein. By the way, Bride of Frankenstein, Chicago Symphony Orchestra Hall, Friday, October 26th at 7:30 p.m. Friday, October 26th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are still available, and you can get them right now by going to CSO.org. What a fun thing to do on Halloween weekend, huh? CSO.org.
I think we made it a little bit more fun because we're also showing Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein immediately following without the orchestra, but to hear those or see those two films back to back is really kind of an amazing experience.
A double feature, as
yes,
it were.
Exactly.
Yeah, good for you guys. Well, but what are some of the other movies in the series then?
This season we'll be presenting The Empire Strikes Back, John Williams' amazing score to that film in Thanksgiving weekend, I should say. We're also going to be presenting North by Northwest, the great Alfred Hitchcock thriller with the Bernard Herrmann score.
Do I know? I mean, will I recognize that score?
I think there's parts, especially in the opening sequence, that it's very, very, very evocative of that film. So, yes, I think
yeah.
so.
Okay, keep going. You got and to then, North by Northwest.
And then we end the series this year with American in Paris. So Gershwin's score with this amazing film that we'll use all that wonderful music from Gershwin.
Do people do, boy, how much fun will American in Paris be?
It should be wonderful.
Oh, no kidding. Do people do this too, or is this tempting then? They'll come up and say, okay, I love this movie. You guys have to do Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Burt Bacharach, it's lovely. Let's do that one. What do you say?
How about this film? How about that film?
But that's okay, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't make a squishy face at Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, although I don't know that that lends itself to what you all do. Although you did make a squishy face when I said, how about the theme song from Gidget before we went on the air? And you said the CSO is not doing TV show theme songs.
Yet.
Actually, this is a different conversation, but I think when you go back and listen to some of those old TV show theme songs, they're nice little ditties.
They are.
Some
yep.
of them are nice little two-minute songs. I think that art is a little lost these days, or at least not appreciated if it's still out there. This texter says, John, I enjoyed the CSO performance during the E.T. presentation. I waited to see how things would hold up during the BMX chase scene, when the bicycle is rides mm-hmm. off into the moon in the movie, and it was unbelievable. That's nice to hear.
It is. I'm glad that people have that experience, because the music is such an important part of those films, and to hear it live performed by our great orchestra is special.
Yeah. And again, I'm not a musician, never have been, but I would be nervous about either the syncing of it or the expectation that the audience has. I think if a lot of us go see a symphony orchestra, we don't know the music that well, and we wouldn't notice if it wasn't the way we wanted it to be or the way it's most frequently done. But here there's an expectation. We know how the E.T. theme goes. We know the Psycho scene, you know? So I wonder if the director or the players feel like they're a little confined because they can't, there's no interpretation of this. You have to do it true to the film.
Right. I'm sure that their enjoyment level, as it were, of performing a Bruckner symphony like they're doing this week is on a different level from what they will face, you know, tomorrow night when they are confined in some ways to following and being synced to a film. But I think that they have expressed a like of this genre and these audiences and this idea. So I think they find pleasure in both types of music making.
Well, I suppose the thought process has to be, too, that if they do this, now maybe they're, hey, what do you know? The CSO isn't so scary or stuffy after all. I'm going to check out one of their non-film performances as well. Are you able to buy tickets just to the movie series, or how does that work?
Certainly. There's a subscription package actually available for the movie series, those three films. But we also have plenty of single tickets available for repeat performances of the films that aren't on the subscription series and the other film offerings that we have.
You doing Harry Potter?
We're doing a couple of Harry Potter films, yes. The Harry Potter 2, The Chamber of Secrets, in December, and we're just about to announce Harry Potter 3, Prisoner of Azkaban, which will be performed in June.
But I reckon, yeah, no kidding. Here again, though, so then we're all thinking, okay, what you got to do this movie, you got to do that movie. But that's the challenge for Jim Fahey, is the director of programming for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So one more time, if you want to get tickets to the show, is it only showing once then, Friday, October 26th, The Bride of Frankenstein? That's the one showing of that at 7:30 p.m.
Correct.
So get tickets to that as well as to the rest of these, and all of the details are at cso.org. If you want to call, here's the phone number. It's 1-800-223-7114, 1-800-223-7114, or 312-294-3000. Maybe cso.org is the easiest way to get started. Orchestra Hall, of course, on Michigan Avenue.
Correct.
It is on Michigan Avenue, 220 South Michigan Ave, Symphony Center.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming in. Congratulations in advance on what I'm sure will be a terrific performance. What a great selection of movies, and how appropriate for Halloween week, The Bride of Frankenstein. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
It's 1:49. This is WGN.